James chapter 1. Continue our study of this chapter and just taking a look here at what the Lord has for us. Seems that there's a couple themes that run through this book. One of those that we know of very well is how, as it says in chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith is going to bring works. Works don't save us by any means, because we know, as we mentioned this morning, that the law, as far as what we can do, we can't accomplish it. If we pick a day, even very early in our life, where we would say that we could keep the law from there on out, we've got the problem before that. And then our nature is just bent towards disobeying the Lord. It's just impossible. The works won't save a man, woman, boy, or girl, but it's by faith, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for sinners like us, his righteousness imputed unto us, our sin imputed unto him, and that. And we see another theme that's here about the liberty in verse chapter 2, verse number 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. And there's a liberty that's here. I'm sorry, verse number 12. So speak ye, in chapter 2, so speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. There's liberty in Christ. We have a freedom to serve the Lord, not a freedom to go and chase after sin like we would want to. That's contrary. We've been saved from sin. We've been saved from unrighteousness. We've been saved from the works of the flesh that we've been looking at on Sunday mornings. And we've been saved unto this liberty that we have in Christ. And in verse number 25 of chapter 1, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so salvation is going to yield service. Salvation is going to yield obedience. Salvation is going to yield spiritual growth, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, learning about our Savior, learning what our Savior would do when he would face the circumstance, situation, the things of life that have come upon us. As we saw in chapter 1, when these different temptations, these trials come our way, don't, as I mentioned last night, don't run in circles, scream and shout. When in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. No, no, look to the Lord, knowing that as his children, as we that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, when these temptations, these trials come upon us, it's for our edification. It's for our growing. Faith is going to be exercised. Patience is going to be increased if we yield to what we can learn. If we don't yield to it and we don't submit ourselves to it, looking to the Lord for help, then yeah, we may be found sinning against the Lord. A trial, though, is not going to be a trial with wickedness as we saw in these other scriptures. And I want to emphasize that. Chapter 1, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 12 is talking about trial that may even come from the Lord. Verses number 13 through 15 is talking about temptation with wickedness unto wickedness, sin. The devil does that. Our flesh does that. We are enticed in our flesh. We are enticed by Satan. And the Lord doesn't do those things, nor has any part of it. We saw last time in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is truly from above, comes down from the Father of lights. And we took a look over in 1 John how the Lord Jesus Christ is light. In him there's no darkness at all. And then that made that point here about, and with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The shadow of the Lord turning, the Lord changing, it doesn't even begin to be cast. That shadow doesn't even begin to be cast. Take a look over here in Matthew 7. We made reference to this scripture this morning. Let's go over here and read it real quick. In Matthew chapter 7, I don't think we read it last time. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse number 7. On the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He tells us to do that. Seek his face. Ask him about things. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Who would do that? No one, would they? Your child comes to you wanting something to eat, won't give him a rock. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or as it says in another place, a scorpion? No, no. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and the Lord said that we're evil, not me. The Lord says that. If we, being full of sin, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He will, won't he? He will. Praying, submission, humility of going to the Lord, asking him for that which we cannot do. Lord, save me, please. Lord, help me, please. Lord, give me grace to bear under this trial. Please, the humility in going and saying, we need help, it honors and glorifies the Lord. It honors and glorifies him. Verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The Lord is able, and he does give good gifts. And that's where the scripture says over here in James 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Take a look in Ephesians chapter 20. We may have read this last time. We'll go ahead and read it again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If you turn to Ephesians 20, you failed. All right. Let us remember this about our Lord. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He's able to do it all. The Lord is. He can do anything. He can do anything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can certainly provide for us. And even if going the righteous way, following after that which is righteous and is right, would maybe cost us in this life, the Lord is able to make up the difference, isn't he? The Lord is able to make the provision. He desires those that will follow him in truth and in faith. Verse 18 in James 1. And keep your ribbon over there. We'll be turning away and turning back and forth. But in James chapter 1, verse number 18, of his own will, because he wanted to, begat he us. How? With the word of truth, not with a wand and just go prang on the head and now you're saved. But he sent his word, as we talked about this morning, and the moving of the Holy Spirit, the sanction of the Father in sending the Son being willing that he would come, the Holy Spirit of God saying, yes, I will work in the hearts, lives, and souls of those that are ours, he would say. He said, I will make it work. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The creation of the Lord. Dying in sin in Adam. We were dead. We went dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. In Adam we all died because he ate of a tree and the fruit of a tree that he should not have eaten of. It wasn't poison, was it? No, it didn't kill him. But just God said, don't eat of that tree. Tend to it. Dress it. You got every other fruit, every other vegetable, every other thing there is. But leave that one alone. So you know who's in control. So you know who is God. He says, of his own will begat he us. We're dead in trespasses and sins, and it was necessary that if we would have life, if we would have life again, eternal life, everlasting life. Adam was made, I believe, where he could have lived and lived and lived and lived. But he sinned, and sin killed him. And at 900 and some years old, it came to pass. He died, just like each and every one of us is going to die. Look over here in John chapter 1 and see what the scripture says. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, the Word In the beginning was the Word, it says in verse 1. You're familiar with this. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, by the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians tells us that by Him and through Him all things consist. He holds it all together. And it goes on down here, speaking about the light, speaking about John the Baptist, and speaking about his witness. And he comes on down here in verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Speaking about his nation, the nation of Israel, the Jews. Verse 12, but praise God for the but. Amen. But as many as received him, as many as received Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, not believing in God, not believing in Holy Spirit power, right? But believing in Jesus, believing in Jesus Christ, the God-man, but as many as received him, not religion, not membership in an organization or a quote-unquote church or a club or a group. Not getting wet by being dunked under the water seven times, but receiving him. But as many as received Jesus, as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power. To them gave the Lord Jesus Christ gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. The Lord saw fit through the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of his word. And as we read in Isaiah, that word would go out and the Lord would take, the Spirit of God would take that word and move in the hearts and souls of sinners, that they might see things the way the Lord sees things. That the blindness of their eyes would be taken away. That the deafness of their ears would be taken away, and that they would be able to see and they would be able to hear that Jesus is the one that came to save them. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we go on, the Lord tells us, we see that semicolon there, and it's going to explain how it worked. It's going to explain what the Lord did in it, that even before the sinner even knew about the Word of God, even before the sinner even knew that he had a need of salvation, even before the sinner knew, or maybe was even alive, the Lord was working. The Lord was working. What's he say? Verse 13, which were born not of blood, like we were all born of our parents, nor the will of the flesh, like we were born of our parents physically, nor the will of man. Anything that a man would purpose to do or pursue, but born of God. But of God. Nicodemus comes to the Lord by night and he says, who are you and what are you doing? You can't do the things that you're doing except God be with you. You can't do it. It can't be. But who are you? Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Ye must be born again. Nicodemus, if a man is going to see the kingdom of God, he's got to be born again. Nicodemus, if a man is going to enter into the kingdom of God, he's got to be born again. And just like it was for each and every one of us, what choice did you have in your birth? A number close to one. Zero. We didn't have any choice in our birth, did we? We didn't have any choice in our name, did we? We didn't have any choice of where we were born, did we? No. We didn't have any choice in our parents, did we? No. We didn't have any choice of any circumstance of our birth. And so it is with the Lord. So it is with the Lord, which were born not of the blood, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. That's the reason we preach the gospel. We pray that the Lord will take and work in the hearts and lives of sinners. He's the only one that can touch a sinner. You're here tonight and this afternoon, you're not saved. We pray the Lord will touch you and make you miserable in your sin and open your eyes to see your condition and that you might see Jesus, that the travail of the new birth would come upon you. You'd be miserable. Miserable. The way you are. That you would develop a hatred for your sin and your condition. You would see yourself as the Lord sees you and take up His place, His position as He sees you. Now you see Jesus Christ. That you see the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord would birth you again. It goes on to say here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And that was part of what needed to be done for folks to be born again. The Son had to come. You know how I said over there we'd be kind of a first fruits? We'll go back to that and see that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John says in the parentheses there, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Well, I think John, he marveled at how it was that the Lord would come and visit an old roughneck fisherman like him. Loud mouth, bold. Remember, the Lord named he and his brother James Boanerges, sons of thunder. Because they're a bunch of loud mouths. They thought of something, they told it. They didn't hold back. John's over there finding some that weren't following after the Lord, and they were doing this or that, and said, shall we call down fire out of heaven and burn them up like Elijah did? The Lord says, no. He says, if they're not fighting against me, if they're not, leave them alone. The Lord's saying, you follow me, John. You follow me. But the Lord, John marveled that the Lord would have to do with him, that he was called to be a disciple of the Lord, that the Lord put him in his church as he came to understand that. As the Lord called him to be an apostle, he marveled that. He said, and we beheld his glory. We saw it. This one that physically, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. John says, we saw the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. We saw the glory of God in His Son. He said, I got to be with Him. I got to spend that time of His ministry with Him. He said, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He was the only one born of God in the flesh. And I got to be with Him. I got to walk with Him. I got to be taught by Him. I got to see this thing that He did, and taking the oracle and word of God and making this transition from God's nation to His church. I was there. I got to see it. He born, it's bad English, but He born me again, John says. he birthed me again. And I love Him so. And what's He say? We saw Him full of grace, full of unmerited favor of God. Why did He love me, John says? The only answer is because He wanted to. Because He wanted to. Because He's the one doing the birthing. He's the one doing the saving. Full of grace. And what else did He say? Full of truth. Every time Jesus opened His mouth, He spoke the truth. He is the truth. He's the Word John just testified about. He is that audible. Jesus Christ is that audible of God. He's the fulfillment of it. And John says, I got to be with Him. Born of God. Back in James chapter 1, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, with the Word of truth, the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, we see how it is, and I love this passage and how this is worded here, and the way the Lord shows it and explains it to us. In verse number 8, the Scripture says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The apostle writes, that is the word of faith which we preach. We preach Jesus and repentance and faith in him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. That's what Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. With all your being, do you believe? That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, for you, not somebody else, not your spouse, not your children, not your mama, not your daddy, not your grandma, not your grandpa, but for you, that he did it for you, that you're the only sinner that ever mattered, and he came and did it for you. Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. By faith. Faith, not works. Not a trade with God. Not a promise to God. Not a payment to God. Not a reformation that we talked about this morning where, God, I promise I'll quit sinning. God, I promise I'll do better. No. But faith in the Lord, that he died, that he paid the price for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord visits a sinner and saves their soul. They won't be able to keep it quiet. Won't be able to keep it inside. It will come out. It'll be like that fountain. It'll be like any of you that has ever seen a well being drilled. And when they hit what they're drilling for, it comes gushing out of the ground. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way the Lord said it would be. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Won't be ashamed in the sense of that word, the word ashamed. Won't be cowardly about their Savior. Won't be backward about who has redeemed them and saved their soul. And that word ashamed also talks about not being confused, not being fearful, but resting in the Lord for their eternity. Jesus has made me promises that he will keep. I believe that it's so. He's made the promises. He's backed them up with his power. He's backed them up with his word. I'm trusting in him. You know what? If the Lord doesn't keep his promises to me, I'm done. But he's made promises and he's going to keep them. Because he could swear by no greater than himself. It says when in dealing with Abraham, if he says it, it's done. If he says it's done. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, verse 10. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Praise the Lord. Praise God that salvation was made available to us through Christ. The Jews marveled in that. But those that were Jews that were saved by the Lord and put in his first church, when they heard it, they were glad, weren't they? They were glad that repentance unto salvation was granted unto the Gentiles also. And Peter said, can we forbid water at Cornelius' house? They've been touched like we were. They've been touched and saved by the Lord like we were. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. All men can hear. All men the gospel is presented to. For the same Lord is rich over the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. That's the reason that I say to folks and in the time at the end of our services that whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that troubles you, whatever it is that you one. You want to be saved? You talk to the Lord about it. You cry out to Him for mercy. You cry out to Him for understanding, for faith, that the Lord would visit you, touch you, save you. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Go to Him. Ask Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him on whom they've not believed? If you don't believe, you sure won't call. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? You can't believe in someone without hearing the word about they're there and you got a need, can you? That's Scripture. The Word of God. The moving of the Spirit in it all. And how shall they hear without one to proclaim it? A preacher. A witness. Someone to take the good news of Jesus Christ to sinners, like somebody did to you and me, and brought it to us, and told us about it. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Oh, the Lord's working in it all, isn't it? The Lord's working in it all. He's the one that sends His witnesses. He's the one that sends His word. He's the one that chooses the means. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace with God and bring glad tidings of good things, of good things. Oh, praise the Lord for His work. Back in James chapter 1, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, with the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of His word, telling us the truth. That as Jesus is full of the truth, He is the truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Isn't that interesting? First fruits. First fruits of His creatures. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what all that means, but you remember how it was there when the Lord spoke and dealt with that woman at the well at Sychar there in John chapter 4. And after she went on down there to Sychar to talk to the men that knew her so well and tell them about what the Lord had done for her and saving her, she said, come see a man that told me everything that I ever did. And they said, okay. And they went and they heard him and they said, well, now we don't believe on Him because you said so, but we believe on Him because we've heard Him ourselves. But the Lord dealt with His disciples there in the meantime before they got back, and He says, and I kind of wonder, they're bringing back, they went down there to get some lunch, and they brought it back, and they said, Lord, you want to eat something? He said, I've got meat to eat that you don't know of. And He says, as that woman's on her way back down to Sychar, the Lord has saved her soul. She's going down there to be a witness of what Jesus has done for her. He says, fellas, the fields are white. The fields are white to harvest. There's a harvest to draw in. Pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. Pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. You know, this first fruits, the Lord speaking of us as a field, you think about the parable of the four different kinds of soil, right? We're the Lord's tillage. Salvation is not just a thing of, you know, the Lord thump you on the head and that's it. But He works the ground, doesn't He? And He sends the seed, doesn't He? And He's gentle, isn't He? And He sends the water, doesn't He? And He uses different ones to do it at different times in individuals' lives. And He saves. And He brings from death to life, from darkness to light, from being a tare, if you will, to being wheat. And I understand how that parable works. But not being full of chaff anymore, but being a for real grain. Amen? He saves a sinner, and He gleans us and brings us. He's going to come again for us soon, and He's going to take us out of this world. And that's going to be kind of like a gleaning too, isn't it? Or a harvesting. First fruits. and the Lord's been saving all along. But James says that way, and I don't know what all everything that that means, but of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Maybe what he's talking, since it's written to the Jews, maybe that's what it is. Because the Lord told the woman there at Sychar, she says, we worship in Mount Gerizim here, and y'all say that you're supposed to worship down at Jerusalem. The Lord says to her, you know not what you worship, because Samaria has been so messed up by previous occupations of kings that have gone in there and done terrible things with the Samaritans and bringing different cultures and different religions in there to mix with those Jews that were there. And the result was the Samaritans, part Jew, part Gentile, all messed up, not knowing who God is or how to worship God. But then the Lord came, manifested to the nation. They rejected him. He called sinners and saved sinners out of the Jews and built his church. So in that sense, the Jews are those first fruits, aren't they? In that way. Yeah. Verse 19. Because of this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, wherefore, because good gifts from God, wherefore, because of this birth, this new birth that we have from the Lord, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Listen. Listen to what the Lord has to say. Hear the Lord speaking before we would speak. Wherefore? Hear what the Lord says. Slow down. Of course, he's writing to those 12 tribes. He says, slow down before you speak. Don't be hasty to shoot off your mouth. But listen to what the Lord says in his word, and listen to what that word of truth is, and make sure what you say lines up with what your Savior says. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, there's no variableness, there's no fickleness with the Lord, right, in verse number 17. But there sure can be with us, can't there? All it takes is one thing being said, and man, we'll flare up like that, won't we? It's in us. It is in us. But we need to abide, and we need to hear and listen to what the Lord says, and we need to hear and listen and know what the truth is, and let that, the truth that we hear from the Lord, be what comes out of our mouth. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God, he goes on to say. Look over in Hebrews chapter 3. Thank God there's no variableness with the Lord. But we need to realize that we are prone and given to fickleness and variableness ourselves in our own nature. And we need, again, that fruit of the Spirit working in us and abounding in us, that we might be Christ-like. But in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Not believing what the Lord says, not taking him at his word, not seeing and abiding and desiring and cleaving to the truth, and departing from the living God. Allowing idols to come in, those things that we would put between us and the Lord. Letting those things come between. We need to be careful of that. But exhort one another to daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful, folks. It promises a great time. It promises, Lord will let you off with that. It'll be okay. One time won't hurt. A little bit of foul mouth here won't hurt. A little bit of watching this junk won't hurt. A little bit of reading this junk won't hurt. A little bit of going there won't hurt. That's what sin does. But what it does is it starts driving wedges between us and the Lord. Because if Jesus wouldn't do it, you and I shouldn't be doing it. Bottom line. Bottom line. Amen? Amen. Amen. If the Lord won't do it, we shouldn't be doing it. If the Lord wouldn't do it, we should not be doing it. If we can't do it right here, right here in front of the church, we shouldn't be doing it. Chewing it, smoking it, drinking it, watching it, singing it, listening to it, whatever it. If we can't do it right here in front of the church, we shouldn't be doing it. Amen? That's right. Bottom line. Bottom line, it's the way it is. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. Be faithful, brother. Be faithful, sister, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ. And that taking of the Lord's Supper, we show that we are partakers of Christ, right? We identify with His body. We identify with His blood. We need His sacrifice upon us. If we are partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, perseverance of the saints, amen? How is it that we show that we believe? By keep on believing. That's what one of the themes that runs through James. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation when the children of Israel bucked and fought against the Lord, and He delivered them with a mighty hand, and He showed many signs and wonders, and through His minister Moses delivered His people with such a great deliverance and salvation, and they bucked against Him. And they whined about simple things that it would be for the Lord to provide. And rather than going to the Lord and asking Him for what they wanted, they chided against Him, they chided against His man, and they murmured. Rather than saying, Lord, we're thirsty. But see, they didn't want to humble themselves, did they? Lord, we're hungry. Can you give us something to eat? Remember what we read over in Matthew 7? Won't the Lord give good gifts? Yeah, if they would have just prayed. Can you imagine 1.5 million, 2 million, 3 million people bowing on their knees before God and asking Him for water and food? Would the Lord have blessed and delivered? He sure would have. But they went the murmuring route. While it is today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. That remnant again. That remnant that Stephen's preaching about on our study of the Deacon Stephen on Wednesday nights. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not, not believe in God. Faith is the victory, folks. Faith is the victory. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Boy, there's a pile that could be preached about that. Back in James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, because of this being begotten of the Lord, these good gifts coming from the Lord, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, before the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If we move and operate in our flesh, we're not going to be pleasing to the Lord. If we don't abide and seek the fruit of the Spirit and the truth of the Word of God, we're not going to please the Lord. If we go on in our own strength and our own way, we're not going to please the Lord. But if we follow Him, if we seek Him, this one that has birthed us again, that's the place of blessing, isn't it? That's the place of blessing. That's the place of fellowship with the Lord. That's the place that we all need to seek to be. How is it with you? How's it with me? May the Lord help us that we be desirous of that. You that are here and not saved, You need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You need this one that was born of God. The Spirit of God moved upon Mary. She had never been with a man. She was a virgin. And the Spirit of God moved upon her and conceived within her the only begotten Son of God. That holy thing that would be called the Son of God, the Scripture says. And he was born and lived 30 years, started a ministry. The ministry that he had for 3 years, from 30 to 33 years old. And then submitted himself to the contradiction of sinners, allowing his creation to take him and put him to death. He allowed it. And he was yielded over by the Father into the hands of wicked sinners like you and me. And they did what they were predictable to do. They put the Son of Glory to death. Why? Because he condemned them in their sin. He bothered them in their sin. And they thought, if we can just kill him, we can get rid of it. But praise be to God, through the eternal purpose and plan of God, even though that wickedness was meted out on God's own Son, the Lord, as it is with the Lord, sin didn't thwart him. And even in that, the Lord gave himself, yielded himself a ransom, a sacrifice, an atonement for his people, so that sinners like you and me can be saved and are saved. Oh, the marvel and work of God. Amen. You and I couldn't come up with a plan like that, could we? No. Because the thing is, we don't have the power and we don't have the Son to do it with, do we? But God did. As great and as magnificent and wondrous as he is, he condescended to deal with us in that way.